So tonight I'm going to talk about pizza. No, I'm just kidding. Okay, so just some instruction on meditation. So how many beginners are here? Just two. Okay, and everybody knows how to meditate.
Oh yeah, we try.
Yes, that's the thing about practicing this meditation practice. You have to try, and not give up. So the more you try, and the longer you try, there is more chance for success and for peace to arise in one's mind. So as we meditate, it's always good to get our minds into like the right mood, and and to do that is to just try to be positive and happy people, and when you can do that, you can carry that mood into your meditation. So meditation is not only just sitting on the cushion, but it's how you live your life as well. So, the idea of meditation is to calm the mind down, to make it peaceful, to make it quiet. And I was just thinking about today, and there's this phrase that came to mind, and it's a phrase that Ajahn Brahm uses quite a bit in the monastery, and it's the phrase that says, "It's none of my business." And if you think about how we live our lives, we make things our business. And the classic example is when people read newspapers and they just get involved in it. Like something happens over here, something happens over there, and they just get involved in it and get affected by it in a way where it's not good for the mind. But if you have this attitude of like, it's none of my business, so you can read the article without it affecting your mind. If you understand that, you can't do that during your daily life. It wouldn't be a very wise thing to do, because you do have to get involved. You do have families. You do have kids. You do have responsibilities. But when you meditate, you can use that idea of this is none of my business. And you can see, when you're meditating, the mind is not peaceful, it's moving around, it's thinking about this, it's thinking about that. One of the reasons why the thinking continues is because we are interested in it. We may have a thought of, say, pizza. And we want to cook pizza, right? And on the internet there's so many recipes on how to make the perfect pizza dough. And now I think I went home to visit my brother, and he likes to make pizza too. And he's got this, he even got like a pizza stone, right? You put it in the oven, and then you make the dough, and then you think about, oh, what topping am I going to put on it? And I'm going to put salami, I'm going to put cheese, I'm going to put basil. And then you have to make the dough. You have to put it in the mixer, you got to put yeast in it. You got to do this and you got to do that. And if you're meditating and you're thinking about pizza and how you're going to make it, are you going to have a peaceful meditation? So what do you say? This is none of my business.
Too late.
This is none of my business. And you can see where this is pointing to. It's sort of taking away the importance of the thinking mind, the restless mind, for however long you have to meditate, say, half an hour to an hour. You can give yourself that time to do nothing, just to sit down and forget about everything. It's a certain freedom there. you know, freedom from your responsibilities as a wife, freedom from your responsibilities as a husband, as somebody who has a job. And you know, that freedom is something that makes you feel good. You know, it brings a lot of peace, it brings a lot of ease into your life. And you know, you could say that about the monastic lifestyle as well. You know, monks, we've given up the world. It's not because we want to be bums and do nothing, but the Buddha has seen something. He understands that the world is, you know, the world is complicated, it's busy, it creates troubles within our own minds. So he set up a monastic life where the monks are away from that problem. You know, we don't have bills to pay. You know, we don't have a wife. You know, I just want to say something funny. When I was at home, and I was like sitting down with the family, and my sister was there with her husband, and I think we were talking about happy marriages, and he would say, "What is it? Happy wife? It was that happy life, right? That's the saying that everybody knows." And I went and said, being a monk, no wife, happy life. But only a monk can say that because he can get away with it. Okay, where was I? Yes. So, yes. This is not my business. So when you're sitting down, just for the next 30 minutes, just have the courage, you know, the courage and the confidence to use this mantra. You could say it's a mantra or like a phrase which just encourages you to just leave things alone and to allow the mind to settle down. And that's the beauty about this meditation. When you allow the mind to settle down, then the mind can start, you know, it brightens up, it re-energizes, it becomes happy. And then, you know, with a happy mind, with a still mind, you're able to calm it down further. Yeah, yeah. So, you know. So yeah, you know, that's how you meditate. It's very simple. You just have to give it a lot of time. You know, as monks, you know, I've been around for 12 years and I'm still learning how to meditate, still learning how to calm the mind down, because the mind is a you know, fickle thing. You know, there's always something going on. One day you're happy, one day you're sad, one day the mind is restless, one day it's anxious. So there's so many things to work with. So you know, meditation is like a learning experience. You come here and you learn the tools from the monks. You know, some monks teach you to, you know, add a bit of loving kindness to your meditation practice, or you know, letting go, or watching the breath. But as a person who meditates and who has been doing that for a long time, they understand the landscape of their minds, so they know what it needs at that particular time. Sort of like making pizza. There's always like an order when you make pizza. You know, after, when you make the dough, then you have to rest it. And then after resting it, then you have to knock the dough out, and then you got to roll it out, and then you got to add the tomato sauce. So there's always, you know, when you look at what you have to do at what step of making a pizza, you know what to do next. It's sort of like the same with the meditation. When your mind is restless, you know, it's all over the place, because you've heard the teachings and you have the tools, you know what to do next to calm that restless mind down. And you know, in the same way, you know, when you're tired, you know what to do when you're tired. You just don't do nothing. You just do nothing. Just allow the mind to be tired. And if you fall asleep in this meditation room, then yeah, that's great. Because another thing, you know, is none of my business. It also relates to this, you know, this person. You know, this person we call me. You know, I'm doing the meditation. I'm watching the breath. You know, I have to achieve something. You know, that person there, just that person cannot be there you can just take that person away during that meditation, that time of meditation. You know, that person is none of your business at the moment, because that person there, you know, that me, that mind, that gets involved, it puts its hand in the pot and it stirs everything up and it makes a big mess out of everything. So I think also I'm here to encourage you and to let you know that meditation does work, and if you give it time and patience, then you will receive the fruits, you know, of this practice. And over the years, what I've learned is that you start to develop like an inner happiness, a happiness that somebody cannot take away from you, a happiness which is devoid of the five senses or devoid of the world. It's a happiness that you don't need to take out your credit card and go on eBay and buy something. It's a happiness where you don't have to eat a delicious pizza. It's a happiness which is there, and it's within. And it's something that you can always go back to. And something you always can go back to. And you know, as you live a life which is quite busy, then you have that place of solace, you know, that place where you can go back to. You know, you may be busy working your life, but because you've come here and you learned how to meditate, you can go back home to a quiet place, sit for half an hour and re-energize yourself. And after you do that, life just seems so much easier. And it is true, you know, if you meditate and you develop a sense of inner happiness, a sense of peace, life does become so much easier. and you know, that's something that the monks here have tried to offer for the past 30 years. Has anybody become enlightened? I take that as a no. But you know, at least you're still trying, you haven't given up yet. That's amazing. Okay. I think it's time for a guided meditation. So just get yourself into a comfortable position. And just bring your mind into the moment. Just be aware of your surroundings. So, you know, you've all got your eyes closed, so just be aware of the darkness. And, you know, be aware of the aircon. Just bring your mind into the body. And just feel, you know, be aware of the chair that you're sitting on, and how your feet are resting on the ground, where you're placing your hands, know, be aware of how your back feels against the seat. So, you know, whatever thought that arises within your mind, just tell it. It's none of my business. That way you can separate yourself from the thinking mind. You can distance yourself from it. And when you distance yourself from the thinking mind, it sort of like gets weaker and weaker and weaker. It gets so weak that it, because you're not interested in it, you don't care for it, now is not the time for the mind to disturb you. You don't want anything to do with it. So that way you're like weakening the strength of the thinking mind. And what happens is that when you ignore somebody and they want your attention, if you just keep annoying them, they just eventually leave you alone. And in the same way, you just keep ignoring your thoughts because they're none of your business. And eventually they will just go away. So, as you're hearing the screaming outside, there's no need to get angry because people are screaming, because you think they're disturbing you. It's none of your business. So just leave it alone. So you're just sitting here, just enjoying the quiet, and just be with the quietness. And if you can be with it, then all your problems will disappear. When there's nothing in the mind, how can there be any problems? When there's something in the mind, that's when all the problems start. So you're just sitting down, you know, just be in the moment. Meditation isn't complicated. It's a very simple and easy thing to do. All you gotta do is, all you gotta be is in this moment. Just stay here. That's all you have to do. Mind wonders, just say to it, this is none of my business. I'm going to see what happens. So just allow yourself to be free for the next, you know, 20 minutes. Just be in this moment. Enjoy the quietness of this room. Isn't it wonderful that you just don't have to do anything? I think that's the monk's favorite time of the day, when they don't have to do anything. They can just sit down, close their eyes and not do a thing.
So just try to take yourself away from the thinking mind. Our minds are thinking all the time because of the life that we live. And then meditation's about giving ourselves a break from it. So when you're sitting here, just bring your mind into this moment. You know, the quietness of this room, the stillness of your body. You're not moving your body around, so there's like something, you know, quiet about that. Like as if you can keep your body still, your mind will follow suit. Just relax. Relax. Remember to be patient. So, and allow things to be. Our minds are basically out of control. It's like a naughty dog. You tell the dog to do something, but it doesn't do it. It doesn't do it. Our minds are pretty much the same. So when it gets to the point in our meditation, when the mind is running all over the place, we can't really do much about it. You know, if you try to watch the breath, can you watch the breath? If you try to throw away the thoughts, can you throw away the thoughts? And the answer is probably no. So if you find yourself in a situation like that, then you can't really do much about it. You just sit down and just watch it, you know, make peace and be kind, be gentle, and just look at it in a in a positive light. There's no need to get agitated or need to think that you're a failure or need to think that you cannot do this, you know. All that stuff is just negative stuff and it doesn't help. It actually pushes you away from this practice of meditation. So instead, when you find yourself backed into a corner and you can't do anything about the situation and you have to sit for another, you know, I think 10-15 minutes, you can't get up, you can't open your eyes, you can't walk around, so you're just stuck with whatever is happening at this particular time in your mind. So just be with it, learn from it, and see where it takes you. So for the last 5 minutes, I think it's a good thing to spread a bit of loving kindness in this room. Everybody needs a bit of love, a bit of kindness directed at them from time to time. So, you know, with the power of the metta, the loving kindness that you have developed through the years of coming to Armadale meditation class, just bring that up. You know, bring up those feelings of warmth, you know, those feelings of kindness, those feelings of goodwill, and just spread it around in this room. I'm going to ring the bell a few times and then you can come out of your meditation.
loving kindness, this magical word in Buddhism
that people use a lot and they try to practice it. And it's a wonderful thing if you think about it, loving kindness, being able to be kind and to be caring to the people around you. I think
loving kindness, there's like two parts of loving kindness. There's the part where you develop thoughts of loving kindness, you know. Some people have it easier than others. And usually the formula that was the sutta that we just chanted at the beginning. You know, may all beings be happy and well. So a lot of times it starts off like that. You know, you have this idea in your mind. You know, may all beings be happy and well. And then loving kindness has no like discrimination. You know, the Buddha asked us to practice loving kindness and give it to everybody, not just our families, our friends, but everybody, even strangers, even our enemies, which is, you know, hard to do. If we really dislike somebody, there's no if we really dislike somebody, then loving kindness is not there. It's just hate and not wanting that person to be around. But, you know, that's normal, you know? We're human beings, we're unenlightened, so we are allowed to have flaws. You know, we're not made perfect. Even monks have flaws. You know, I've been practicing for 12 years and I have my flaws. But I'm not going to tell you about it. But we understand what they are. And we try to better ourselves as human beings. And I think that's one of the beautiful things that you come across in spirituality or in a Buddhist practice is to better yourself as a human being. Everybody has their flaws, everybody has their strengths, they have their weaknesses, and you know, with our strengths we're trying to make them stronger. We if we're a kind person, just see if you can be even more kinder. And you know, with your weaknesses, whether you get angry or whether you get jealous or whether you stress out or have anxiety, just understand that it's not a problem really, but it's just a part of your makeup. That's how you've been brought up, that's how you've been conditioned. And sometimes the truth is you can't really help it, but feel a certain thing and be in a certain way. But understand that life is not something which is fixed or something which is permanent, and that you cannot change and become a better person. Coming to a place like this, we sort of like, as monks, we sort of like point these things out for you to, you know, let you know what to look at, you know, what things to you know, let go of and make better. And the Buddha, you know, he spoke about anger. You know, anger is, you know, some people get angry and some people don't, but and he also talked about the antidote of anger, and that is, you know, loving kindness. It's like I was trying to give examples, like living in a monastery, sometimes people get angry, even monks. And then I think at the time when that person's angry, you can't really do anything about it. You just gotta let them air their frustrations. You know, if they wanna
shout, let them shout. If they want to rant on about something, let them rant on about somebody. And then, you know, you're trying to be a good Buddhist, so then you go, oh, he's angry, now it's time to practice metta. And then you go up to them and put a, you know, pat them on the shoulder, try to say something wise. But usually it doesn't really work that way. It's sort of like telling somebody who's like in a rush or talking frantically to calm down. You know, that never works. So what you do is, you know, you let the person calm down, and when they're like distant from their outburst, then you can show them a little bit of loving kindness. You can say something kind, or you know, yeah, I think, and also with loving kindness or the practice of metta, it's also the way you talk to one another and how you relate, and it's something that comes from the heart, and it's something which can be developed. Like I said earlier, some of us have an easier time of doing it and some of us don't, but that's not the if you think of Buddhism as a practice where you only do one thing, then, and that you think that loving kindness is the whole meaning of Buddhism, then, you know, that's wrong. You can be a person who, I think this is what I've seen, you can be a person who can develop on this path without having loving kindness or metta as a strong part of your practice. Some monks are more, you know, cerebral, so they're more like wisdom characters, they like to figure things out. And some monks are more like, they come from the heart, and they do more of, you know, they're more friendlier, they're more kind, they have a lot more, they have more metta. So you know, you have to, like I said before, you have to understand your strengths and weaknesses, and know what to work on. This path is also a path of wisdom. Yeah, you know, seeing just using common sense to see the world and understand the world for what it is, and if you could do that, that helps you, you know, let go of things. You know, understanding is understanding. You know, if you understand like the nature of life, that's what the Buddha did. He meditated under a Bodhi tree. He saw things clearly. And he understood the nature of life, and the understanding sort of like freed his mind, so he no longer suffered. So, you know, wisdom and understanding is also a part of this path, and something that we can also practice. But going back to, this is the problem when you don't plan your thoughts. You sort of like think as you go along, but that's fine with me. So going back to metta, there's two parts. You know, you can, there's the metta that you practice when you're alone. You're trying to develop thoughts of loving kindness, and stuff like that. And then the other part is actually going out and using it, and actually being kind to people. And you know, being friendly, and you know, we have those opportunities, especially living in a society like we have today. There's a lot of things we can do, like charity-wise, where you can just go out and help people, like go to like a soup kitchen, or people who are in need, and just, you know, just go out there and help them. You know, we live our lives and we sort of get into our habits, we do the same thing. Sometimes we need to like spice things up a little bit. And I think a good way, I think a good way of doing it is to actually just go out and help people. And I think I was looking online and I was like, you know, there's a website where you can volunteer your time, and they give you a list of places and things that you can do depending on your skill. And I was just looking at it because I think sometimes people just get into like the same routine, and at times we can be, you know, a little bit self-centered and just thinking about ourselves and not about the you know, people around us, and also people who are in need. And you know, if you can actually go out there and just connect with people who are like-minded, which is important as well, like you know, people who like to give, who are at charity events, those people tend to be good-hearted people, and it's just nice being around them. Yeah, it's just nice being around them, and I think, you know, that also stretches your mind, and it makes you realize that you can just go out of your comfort zone to do something else, and that does help with your practice. Like, say, you know, like metta, you know, sometimes you can, you think you can just give it to one or two people in your lives, but in fact, if you can learn how to give metta to somebody, like purely, then you can give it to anybody. And the thing with giving metta and just giving goodwill and kindness to other people is that you feel good about yourself as well. It's a win-win situation. And it's basically what happened is it's just like a feedback mechanism kind of thing. It's like a loop. You give, you know, a bit of time to somebody, a bit of kindness, and you know, you start to feel good about yourself, and then you say to yourself, oh, this feels pretty good, so then you do it some more, and then you start to realize that this is actually a positive and good thing to do. And it does put your mind in a good place, you know, this is, you know, this is why we're here. We're trying to find a way to bring more peace and more happiness into our lives, and you know, metta is a great way of doing it. And you know, just being kind, just being caring, and just, you know, understand that it just puts your mind in a good place and in the right place. And I think when it starts bringing you happiness, then you know that it's working. So then you keep on doing it again and again and again. And the Buddha did say a few things about developing metta, and one of the things is that it's like you sleep well at night. That's one of the benefits, and I think the other benefit is that you won't have any bad dreams. And the other benefit is that that you are protected by the devas. I don't know if that's true or not, but that's what the Buddha said. And he also said that you're also protected from you know, things that harm you, like snakes and fires. So you know, when you're developing metta, you're also making good karma. And karma is basically what you give is what you get back in return. It's a positive state of mind that you're developing, and the Buddha always encouraged to develop wholesome states of mind, to uplift the mind, and to throw away all the unwholesome states of mind. So doing metta also helps you develop that kind of mind. And I think another fact that the Buddha said is that if you develop metta, then your mind becomes peaceful quite quickly. And you can understand how that happens. If you have a mind full of loving kindness, and you don't create grudges with other people, people don't make trouble with you, and you can imagine how free your mind can be because of that. And some of the troubles that we have within ourselves is because of other people. You know, we may dislike somebody or get into an argument, and you can see how much disturbance that can cause. Or, you know, sometimes we have to check ourselves. Sometimes we are the problem that we are causing for other people as well. So you got to watch what you say and how people react to it. You got to watch what you do and how people react to it, that as well. And if you are causing trouble, you're making problems, then make those adjustments to better yourself as a human being. Metta. So the Buddha said, what did the Buddha say? He said, hatred is not overcome by hatred, it's only overcome by loving kindness. So he said all these nice and wonderful things. And it's good to hear. But, the practice is, it only gets worthwhile when you actually put it into practice. And then you can start to experience it for yourself. And you can actually see that what the Buddha is teaching is, it actually works. And the Buddha wasn't like a monk who demanded people to follow him, or that he was like a person who was right all the time. You know, he gave a sutta to a bunch of people. And it was basically, the sutta was about putting these teachings into practice. And, you know, if the teachings work, then, yeah, take them on board. Use them in your life. And if the teachings don't work, then just put it aside. And then maybe later you can pick it up again and use it for your practice. So, metta, the practice of Buddhism, it's basically something to add to your life, something to add to your life to make it better, really. You know. We live in a society where we get taught to be decent people. You know, at school we get taught by our teachers, by our parents, so there is a level of goodness within us. And you know, coming here, learning a bit about Buddhism, all that is doing is just adding more things that you can actually do in your lives to make it better. Just being more kind, you know, adding that to your life. Learning how to meditate, you know, calming the mind down, getting away from, you know, the busyness of life to just give yourself some time off. You know, just adding that into your life. Also a good thing is to, as a monk, You listen to these teachings all the time. So basically you get brainwashed. You become like a robot. So listening to these teachings is also a good thing, because it reminds you of the things that you can do to make your lives better. And then, yeah, you know, that's what happens at the beginning. It's sort of like a list of instructions that you can use. But then, after using them and after receiving the benefits of these teachings, and then when you hear these teachings again, say 10 years down the line, well, how long has Rachel been here? 30 years down the line. Instead of these teachings being an instruction, they serve as a reminder, but also they are also very like uplifting. They bring happiness to the mind because they work, and they work. That's all it is, you know. These teachings work, and just listening to words like metta or being kind or meditation, letting go, you know, cause and effect. I mean, you heard them like a billion times, but because you relate to them so closely, you have a good relationship with them. You know, these words, they just bring a lot of happiness and a lot of like joy. And because I've been away for 5 years. I came back a couple of years ago, I think, but I've been away for 5 years, and I haven't. I was listening to like Ajahn Brahm's talks on MP3, but I haven't been to like a live talk in a long time. So usually the case is when you have listened to somebody for a long time, they do get boring. So I'm pretty sure you're bored of Ajahn Brahm. Oh, you gotta delete that. Well, that was the sort of thing that was happening with me. I was there for 9 years, and then it's like, oh yeah, another talk by Ajahn Brahm. Oh, another talk. Oh, no more talk, please. So then I went away for 5 years, and then I came back. And then he gave a talk, and it was basically the same talk, you know, let go, mate, peace, be kind, be gentle. But because I haven't heard it for some time, and it was something like fresh to my mind, I really got like inspired, and it felt really good to be back. And but knowing the nature of giving talks and listening to too many talks, I think after a while that effect will wear off. So when that happens, I have to go somewhere else for 5 years and then come back.
Yeah. Are you no longer at Wiseman's Ferry?
No, I'm no longer there.
Huh?
Yeah, I'm no longer there. Yeah. So we've got 5 minutes left. Any questions?
Where is Wiseman's Ferry?
Huh?
Where is
he? Oh, Sydney.
Sydney,
Hawkesbury River, about 2.5 hours drive. You have to cross a ferry to get to the monastery. Drive on a dirt road, and then in the middle of the bush, you know, eastern states kind of landscape. Beautiful, quiet place, yeah, it's nice. Oh yeah, you can. Yeah. If you speed, you can get there faster.
So where are you now?
I'm in Perth. I'm with Ajahn Brahm.
You can move back too.
Yes.
Any other questions?
Questions, comments, feedback.
Is there any way to de-stress at work?
De-stress? Have a good time. Have a good time.
Love and kindness.
Have a good time at work. Make it fun. But sometimes it's just a stressful environment and you're just stressful. You know, you can't really help it. It's just the way it is. But then, you know, you sort of like, you put these teachings into practice, and then over time you cope with it a little bit better, and then it just becomes easier and easier and easier. It's sort of like coming here, it's not like a, you get one hit of like teachings and then everything is okay. You gotta,
that's not
yeah, like with anything, there's no magic pill. If there was a magic pill, then I'll give it to everybody. for some pizza. Yeah?
Any tips for not falling asleep when you meditate?
Oh, okay.
I'm really comfortable and I keep falling asleep.
That's okay, I think, when you fall asleep. It just means that you've been busy during the day. And just falling asleep is just a part of your body telling you that you need to rest. Don't give yourself a hard time. Just understand that it's a natural process. It's a natural thing that happens. And when that happens, just allow yourself to sleep. Sometimes, you know, you may sleep for like 5 minutes and then you wake up in your meditation and everything's okay. Your mind can be aware of whatever is happening and you can continue on. So yeah, there's no need to stress when you're sleeping. You know, some of the best meditators nod all over the place. Yeah.
Sometimes when I meditate, I tend to like move around.
Yeah.
Like in certain, it's very gentle movement.
Yeah.
Do we do it? Huh?
You know what I'm gonna say. That's okay. That's fine. if it's so, yeah, I don't know. Is it disturbing? Yeah, if it's not disturbing, then don't worry about it. Yeah, that's the thing. If it's not disturbing, then don't worry about it. Because, you know, monks, there's a walking meditation as well, where you have to walk up and down, and the body's moving, you know. But it can get peaceful. So if you're just sitting there, and you're not moving on purpose, your body's just, like, swaying here and there, then I think that's okay. As long as, you know, you're still peaceful, and you can still meditate, that's fine. Yeah. There's no, yeah, it's like, just be relaxed, you know, chill. Yeah, you're not doing anything wrong, because, you know, you're sitting, you got your bum onto the meditation cushion. That's such a good thing to do, you know. Many people in the world don't do that, so just doing that much is a great thing.